Genesis chapter 41, we are in verse 33. Let's see what's going on here. There's a lot to read if we get down. Well, we'll go down to verse 45. Let's go that far. We can read all that. Genesis 41, verse 33. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man, discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. You say, what's that about? Joseph has just interpreted the two dreams that Pharaoh had, the one about the corn and the one about the cattle. And he's told him there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. And so now he's telling Pharaoh what to do about that. Let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Verse 34, let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities. And that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Now, before we keep reading, notice he said, that food shall be for store. When you get hungry and you decide you want to cook a meal, you go to the store. Actually, you're going to the storehouse to buy the store. And the reason we call that place a store is for what's stored there until you need it. And you get that from your Bible. Verse 37, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, forasmuch as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paaneah. That'd be a good name for your kid. You need to talk to Brian and Mary Beth, next kid they have. They can try that one on. Zaphnath-Paaneah. And he shall give him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Now, it's real simple what's going on here. So what we'll do is deal with the simplicity of the text here. People say, I read the Bible, but it's hard to understand. That's not hard for you to understand what went on there. That's real practical. Save in the years of plenty, so you'll have something to spend in the years of famine. That's perfectly reasonable. What he said basically to those guys is, you're going to get people all over this country, and when these men are harvesting, what you're going to do is basically put a tax on. And 20% of what they harvest, one-fifth, you're going to go ahead and lay by it. They'll pile that thing up, stick it in barns, wherever they have to stick it. Because when the bad days come, then we're going to have something to be able to give these people to eat or sell to these people to eat. And there was a great deal of wisdom in that. So Pharaoh said, okay, we'll do it, and you're the man. But in making Joseph the man that was wise and discreet, in making Joseph the man that would be over all of this store and all of this collection and all of this distribution, and in giving him a wife, do you realize that in this little passage of Scripture, you just read 18 types of the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't know if you saw that. There are 18 types of Jesus Christ in that little thing. That, you know, when I was a kid and I had to go to the eye doctor, they had a book there. I think this was a book that was pretty much designed for most of the doctor's offices. It was called Highlight. Remember that thing? And in there they had those little cartoons. All these things were disguised and hidden, and you had to pick out all of them. Well, that's like this. You just read something, and maybe you thought of three or four things that are like Jesus Christ. Well, there are actually 18. And not only that, there's a little phrase in here that we want to look at before we finish in verse 38, where it talks about Joseph, and he says, can we find such a one as this is, now watch it, a man in whom the Spirit of God is. There are a lot of people that have said God was on them in the Old Testament, but he's in them in the New Testament. And actually, you're going to find in this reference and in others that God was actually in them in the Old Testament, but not in exactly the same way that he is in you in the New Testament. We want to look at that also before we finish today. All right, so let's find the first type of Christ, and you're going to find it in verse 38. the one we just looked at. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And the first thing is that you see is that the Spirit of God was in Joseph. Actually, the Spirit of God was in Jesus Christ, which is obvious because it was the Spirit of God that conceived Jesus Christ in Mary's womb. And you'll find that reference in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 34. John chapter 3 and verse 34. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He's got it, and he's got as much, he's all of the Holy Spirit. Now keep your finger there, because we're going to be in the next chapter here in just a second. The next type of the Lord Jesus Christ is found in verse 39 of our text. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, God showed him what he's going to do. And the same is true with the Lord Jesus Christ. You were in John chapter 3, now go over to John chapter 5 and look at John chapter 5 and verse 20. John chapter 5 and verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. So just like God showed Joseph what was fixing to happen, God showed Jesus Christ everything that he was going to do. So they're just like each other in that respect. All right, now we're going to go back to the Gospels in a second, but turn back to our text. Look at verse 39 again. And notice this. There is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Can you think of any verse in the New Testament that shows us the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ? Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. Matthew 13, verse 54. Now, while you're turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says about Jesus Christ that God made him to be our wisdom. But the wisdom in Jesus Christ was recognized by the people that he ministered to exactly like Pharaoh recognized the wisdom that was in Joseph. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. When he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty words? So Pharaoh recognized it in Joseph, and all the people recognized it in the Lord Jesus Christ. The comparisons are just, they're just tight, you know, they're just so exact. Now go back to Genesis chapter 41, and we'll look at three things in verse 40. That way we don't have to keep going back every time. Look at three things about Jesus Christ in verse 40. Number one, he says, thou shalt be over my house. And Jesus Christ was over God's house. I'll show you the verse. And according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. So they both ruled by their words. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Interesting thing. But in this particular chapter, Pharaoh then is a type of God Almighty. And so when he says, only in the throne will I be greater than thou, that's exactly the relationship that Jesus Christ has with God the Father. That he's over everything in the universe, but only in one respect. He's not over God Almighty. Those three things are exactly similar between Joseph and the Lord Jesus Christ. They were both over their master's houses. They both rule by their words, and they only had one that was greater than them, and that was their master. All right, let's see if we can take these as they show up in the Bible. Go to John chapter 10. We'll do it in reverse. John chapter 10. Now, you might remember this one. Remember that verse in John chapter 10, verse 27? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. What's the next verse? Verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is what? Greater than me. Greater than all. And no man is thou to pluck them out of my Father's hand. So they're just like each other. And they even use the same word, greater. Now go to John chapter 12. Look at verse 47. John chapter 12, verses 47 to 50. Notice that Joseph ruled by his words. According unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Jesus Christ ruled the same way. John chapter 12, verse 47. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my, what? Words. So that's why we emphasize how important it is to find God's words. And if you've got them in the Bible that you have in your hand, there's no reason to trade that Bible in for something else. Amen? He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I like that. Say, are the words of God inspired? Jesus just told you. He spoke exactly the way God Almighty told him to speak. All right, and then look at Colossians 1:18. Colossians 1:18. People generally refer to the place that they go to church, the building in which they worship. They say, we're in God's house. We've met together today in God's house to worship the Lord. But the truth of the matter is, you and I are God's house, not this building. This is a nice building, and I'm really glad we have it, but I know God's house looks a little bit nicer than this. This is a safety training building for the oil field. And when we leave here, it may be torn down and turned into a cracker barrel, who knows. Colossians 1:18. And he, that's speaking of Jesus Christ, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So over God's house, Jesus Christ is the ruler, and over Pharaoh's house, Joseph was the ruler. Same thing. Same thing, same thing. All right, now let's go back to Genesis chapter 41 and look at verse 41. So far, you've seen only six ways that Joseph is a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in the text, and there's yet 12 more to go. Look at verse 41. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Oh, now that's interesting. Because in the verse, he said, I put you over all my house. Now he says, I've made you over all the land of Egypt. What is Egypt in the Bible a type of? It's a type of the world. And right now we know that Satan is the god of this world, but who's over the devil? is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is really over the world. In other words, even though he'll use the devil to accomplish his tasks, ultimately when it's all said and done, it's going to work out the way that he wanted, not the way the devil wanted. And because the devil's had so much influence over this world, after Jesus Christ reigns in this world for 1,000 years, he'll say, okay, gig's up, let's have a major meltdown and we're going to refashion this place, and this time we'll do it without the influence of the devil. But in any case, he is the ruler not only over God's house, that is the church, but he's also ruler over the world. Look in Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. And one day, he'll actually come and tell the devil, you're done. You're chained up for 1,000 years, now it's my turn to run it for a while. Revelation 11:15 is that day. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. When Handel read these kinds of verses like he did in Psalms and like he did over here, he wrote Handel's Messiah, and I'll tell you, you're going to be hard-pressed to find better music than that on this side of eternity. That's tremendous. And he shall reign forever and ever, and that's exactly what he's going to do. Now, there are a lot of people that will try to take his reign away from him, but they're going to find out they're just enemies of the Lord God when they meet him face to face. And in the meantime, God's very patient to let him go on in their ignorance. Amen. I don't want to be on the wrong end of that stick, so I'll go with God and God's words. Okay, let's go back to Genesis 41. Let's look in verse 42, and we'll see three more things. three more things. Pharaoh took off his ring from under his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. Well, now what's that ring a type? What's that ring all about? It's a seal. What else is that ring about? It's authority. When Ahasuerus was king and he had that guy named Haman in there that was trying to destroy the Jews, he gave him his ring, and whatever Haman decreed and stamped with that ring, he had the authority of the king to make it go to pass. When Haman was hung by the command of the king and Mordecai was raised to that position of authority, even Mordecai himself couldn't change Haman's law that was done in the king's command. He had to make a new law, and the new law was the Jews could take up arms to defend themselves, which went very badly for the people that attacked them. And over 75,000 people died in that defense, and the Jews reigned. The thing that Mordecai did is he gave that decree with Esther, and that was as good as the king's word himself. So when the ring was given to Joseph, he says, "You've got the authority, pal. Whatever you say goes." And Jesus Christ was given the same authority in this world. What was it about Jesus Christ that caused all those people that saw him working those miracles and preaching, what caused them to marvel? What did they say about his authority? Do you remember? He speaks as one having authority and not as the scribes. And then he had authority even over the unclean spirits. They knew when he came and he began to do things, this man was unusual, and they knew it because of his authority. And in fact, the authority wasn't something that he brought to himself. It was something that God gave him. He had the authority. If you're keeping notes, verses that would show you that are Matthew 7:29 and Mark 1:27. We won't turn there. Just write it down. We'll Mark 1:27 and Matthew 7:29. As one having authority. Notice something else that happened to Joseph. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, verse 42, put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. Now, when Jesus Christ was crucified, they took his clothes away from him. And then they wrapped him in grave clothes, and he left those behind when he resurrected from the dead. But he's got great vestures now. Let's look at those vestures. Go over here to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19. This passage, as you know, we've looked at it before, is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. There it is. He had a vesture. Now, that vesture got dipped in blood because he was fighting against the enemies of God and the earth, and their blood splattered on his vesture. His name is called the Word of God. Verse 16, he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, now go back to verse 8 and notice something about clothing. Revelation 19:8 describes the way that the church will be arrayed in clothing at the marriage of the Lamb. Look at verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in what kind of clothing? Fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is what? The righteousness of saints. Where did you get your righteousness? From Jesus Christ. Look back in Isaiah 61 at verse 10 and notice what he's wearing. Isaiah 61 and look at verse 10. Now in the marriage of the Lamb, the bride is the church and the bridegroom is whom? Jesus Christ. Isaiah 61, 10, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with what? The robe of righteousness. And fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. As a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with fine jewels. So that robe of righteousness, when you go back and check those references in Revelation 19, is probably a robe of fine linen. And that's exactly what Pharaoh put on Joseph, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. So again, we see another type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why is this so important to go back and look at Joseph's life and compare it with the Lord Jesus Christ? Does it do you any good? You know, one of the things is it shows you that from the very beginning, as we told you when we started studying types in the book of Genesis, there are a lot of things that happened in Joseph's life that were probably worth writing down. Probably so. And there are also a lot of things in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ that were worth writing down, according to John. But if we had written it, I mean, people right now have a hard time finding enough time to read their Bibles. Can you imagine if you had to read every book that was written about Jesus Christ? When John said if we'd written books about his life, they would have filled the world. I mean, people have a hard enough time going through page 2 of their search engines when they're looking for something on the internet. So God stewed down for us just the high points of the lives of people that he wanted us to know about in the Old Testament, and there was a reason for that. These high points in Joseph's life are there because he wants you to know this book is about his son. And the main thing about this book, as much as I enjoy my salvation, as much as you enjoy your salvation, the main thing about this book is not getting you saved. The main thing about this book is identifying the right king that belongs on the right throne and getting him there. And it starts out that way in Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, and ends that way in Revelation chapter 20, 21, and 22. And that's what the book is about. So when he high points these great things about Joseph being taken out of prison and ascending to this great throne and getting all this, he's saying, you see, how it happened in the life of Joseph is exactly the way I'm going to make it happen in the life of my son. And so when some nut comes around and tells you, nah, I don't believe Jesus Christ is going to rule literally here in the earth, you just tell him, hang back, baby. He's going to be wearing the ring of God. He's going to sit in the throne. He's going to be wearing fine linen. He's going to be ruling by his word. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. What he said is going to go. And when somebody doesn't go his way, he's going to smoke them. And everything he needs to know, God will tell him. And whatever he tells him, he'll tell us, just like he did when he was here the first time. And on and on and on it goes. You saw it happen in the life of Joseph, and you're going to see it happen in the life of God's only begotten son. Amen. And when I read that, I get excited about that because I love God's child, his only begotten son, and I love my king. One of the things we saw when we had a chance to travel to the Baltic Sea a couple of years ago with my mother is that despite the fact that the royalty over there in those various countries like Estonia and Russia and England and Finland and Sweden and all that, despite the fact that the royalty are not perfect, their lives are, they're followed by the, what do they call them, the paparazzi, and they write these articles on them and they tell you all the bad things these people are doing and all about their party life, the people in those countries love their royalty. And you ask yourself the question, why? Well, I don't know why, but I know this, we love our royalty. And I know why we love our royalty. And one of these days when he takes the throne, we can just shout, scream, and holler and go, see right there? That's my king. That's my king. Something else that God did for him, not only giving him authority and arraying him in vestures, but notice also in verse 42, put a gold chain about his neck. What is gold a type of in the Bible? God Almighty. And who is Jesus Christ? God Almighty manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. He's God manifest in the flesh. All right, now notice something else. Verse 43, he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. When you talk about Jesus Christ and his position in the Trinity, what do you say about him? He is the second person in the Trinity. 1 John 5, 7 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, second place, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. Ministries that emphasize the ministry of the Holy Spirit over the Lord Jesus Christ are ministries that are topsy-turvy. Because the Holy Spirit did not come to bring glory to himself. He came to exalt the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in the right position, the Holy Spirit will have plenty to do in the congregation, but he will never usurp the position of Jesus Christ in the Trinity. And when a minister takes that and flips it, then something's going to get out of balance in the congregation. And you've seen the evidence of that today. Look at verse 43 again. He made him to ride... Okay, verse 43, made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And of course, we saw that both were rulers. Jesus Christ is going to rule with a rod of iron. Look at verse 44. Excuse me. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Okay. You know those kings always had trouble with that in the Old Testament. But he's saying this because he's going to use that to pronounce authority. He's swearing by making an oath by himself. I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. That is, I'm the boss, and now I'm giving you the bosshood. And there'll be nobody in a position of authority unless they're cleared by you. That's pretty good. And that's the same way it is with Jesus Christ. Nothing happened without Jesus Christ. He says about us, and we're going to look at the text later in the sermon today, so I'm not going to take you there now, John chapter 15. He said about you and me, without me, you can do nothing. That's just like Joseph was. Nothing's going to happen unless Joseph says so. You know the great thing about Joseph? Remember when he was dreaming those dreams and getting all excited about the fact that his brothers were going to bow down to him and all that? There must have been an air of cockiness in him when he was 17 years old saying all that. For them to get so mad, they'd try to kill him and throw him in the pit. How do you think he felt when he was 30 years old and came out of the prison? Not so cocky anymore. God said, now you're ready to rule. And it's a great message for us. God may have great plans for you that involve you coming up fairly high in the body of Christ. You can be absolutely sure of this. He is going to drag you through the muck and the mire, getting you ready for it, so that you don't let it go to your head when you get there. It's what he did to his son, Jesus Christ. He says God humbled him. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And you'll never learn to rule until you learn to obey, and you'll never learn to obey until you suffer. And that's all there is to it. And if you don't like the life of suffering, then don't plan on doing great things for God. I just thought I'd throw that in there. It wasn't really in the notes, but it's worth mentioning. He called his name in verse 45, Zaphnath-Paaneah. Got any idea what that means? My marginal note says, a revealer of secrets. The man to whom secrets are revealed, and that's certainly true. But a lot of those old names had multiple meanings. Zaphnath-Paaneah also means Savior of the world. Does that sound anything like Jesus Christ? Absolutely. The Bible actually calls him the Savior of the world in John chapter 4, verse 42. You write that down if you're keeping notes. John chapter 4, verse 42, Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Of course, you knew that. Then they gave him a wife named Asenath. Does Jesus Christ get a wife? Yep, sure does. And there's some similarities here. Where did Asenath come from? What country? Egypt is a type of the... Where'd you come from? Absolutely. John chapter 15, verse 19, and John chapter 17, verse 6 are the cross references on that. John 15, 19, John 17, 6, if you want to get the cross reference on that. And he didn't get that wife until he came out of prison. He had to go down before he could be exalted to get the wife that was the daughter of a priest. And Jesus Christ also had to go down before he could come up and get his wife. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. That's the cross reference. He humbled himself, took upon him the form of a man, became a servant, and went on like that. He was in humiliation just like Joseph was. All right, now, are there any questions about that? And then I want to show you something about the Spirit of God in him. If the note I had was right, priest of On is the sun god, not a place, it's a god. So evidently then, she grew up in a house that was involved in idolatry just like many of us did, and God had to call her out of idolatry to get her into God, just like the Thessalonians turned from idols to serve the living God. There's another type there. You go from worshiping the sun god to worshiping God's son. Amen. Father, we're sure thankful today for a chance to see all the ways that Joseph was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to exalt Joseph, but to exalt your son. And Father, we're also thankful that when you saved us, you gave us your Holy Spirit, and we're thankful, Father, that you sealed us with your Holy Spirit, and that he's in us, and that he gives us provision for everything we need. Mostly at this time, in this lesson, and in these lessons and preachings, guiding us into all truth, and teaching us the things that we need from your word for Jesus' sake. Amen.